Okay, welcome everybody. So last class we talked about stress and emotional trauma, and we got a lot of comments in the members area, in the Facebook area, that it's a really powerful class for a lot of people. A real light bulb moment went off because people realized the importance of addressing both chronic stress and emotional trauma. So chronic stress is going to set up a condition in your body where you're getting a chronic hormonal condition that causes insulin resistance and leptin resistance, and emotional trauma is going to set up a situation where your body's going to use weight as a form of protection. And we talked a lot about how visualization can be beneficial in all these different ways. Several different ways, visualization can be beneficial for reducing chronic stress, for making us feel more safe and protected, more supported, more abundant, for working through emotional issues and feeling more protected and safe in emotional situations, for getting rid of junk food cravings. We talked about a lot of things. We'll talk a lot more about that also in class five, about how to use visualization to create positive beliefs and change the way you think and feel about the world in many, many different ways. So we'll keep going with that. In the meantime, we did get lots and lots of questions from the last class that I'd like to bring in Den in to start trying to answer, and also some questions still from the digestion class. If you want to talk to me directly, you can do so by calling the number and pressing 1. You have to press the button 1. It puts your little, there's a little hand that goes up. Shannon comes on and says, "Hi, can I help you?" And you say, "Yeah, I'd like to talk to John. I got a text here. So-and-so wants to talk." And then all of a sudden, presto, you and I are talking. And it's a great thing to do because I'm giving you a lot of information. We're giving you a lot of information over these weeks. And you want to assimilate it. You want to, does that apply to me? Does that not apply to me? In what way does it apply to me? How should I approach the action steps? All these different things. This is a great opportunity to get all that information synthesized right here, right now. So if you want to talk to me, you're welcome to do so. Otherwise, we will take questions that people have asked in the past and also questions that you ask in the chat room. So let's bring Dan in if we can, and we'll start answering some questions.
Hi, John, I'm here.
Hi, Dan.
Hi. We've got a question. It's a rather long question, but it's in the Ask John section, and we thought it was particularly relevant to today's topic. And she's actually asked a question, obviously, after listening to Monday evening's class. It's Natalie. She says, "I've listened to the Stress and Emotions Core class and it answered but also raised some questions for me. Since starting the program, I have adapted my diet, but this doesn't seem to be suiting me. I'm having stomach cramps like I used to have years ago with IBS, and I think it may be that I'm having too much fiber and this is upsetting my system. So do I go back to how I was eating, which was Patrick Holford low GL, which seemed to suit? I do have low ferritin as it's at at its lowest it was 8 and highest 33. The moment has gone back to 17, but I know I wasn't taking my tablets over the last few months. I don't absorb iron like lots of people have looked into leaky gut, but nutritionists didn't think this was a problem. I take probiotics and digestive enzymes. I think my problems are more emotional than food-based. I realised by listening that over the months, years, my body has naturally pushed me to eat better, exercise, and I do this for approximately a month, and then I either get a migraine or feel exhausted, and this sets me back, and I panic that I'm doing too much. Years ago, I had chronic fatigue and was told to do half of what I think I can. My body has obviously listened. My problem now is that I crave an alcoholic drink at 5 to 6 p.m. I don't really eat much sweet food. Is this my body's way of getting its sugar fix? I get annoyed that this happens and then feel frustrated that I'm not more in control of my cravings. We moved recently and it was a building, we built a new house and it took 9 months instead of 3 months. I was getting very stressed and kept getting shaky episodes and feeling cold. Not sure if this was blood sugar related, but got tested and it was all okay. But one bad episode happened when my husband was working abroad. I started shaking, felt very afraid, and the only thing that stopped it was eating. I know I hate to get cold and this rings bells with famine and temperature for switching on fat programs. I just wonder how I deal with all of these issues and which one do I start with first? Sorry, this is such a long question, but all these things that have been going around in my head, and I just want to seem to get a better understanding.
Yeah, so my sense is that working in the area of emotions and stress, will yield results for you because you've done the food thing to the nth degree. You don't have to make too many changes in that direction right now. I would focus mainly on working through stress and emotional issues. Obviously, stress does affect you. People that have had chronic fatigue are typically have had stress issues that trigger that. So it's not just about food or nutrition or toxins. These things are important, or leaky gut, all these things. But what I'm hearing and what I'm sensing is that stress is really, really important for you. And I would start with a daily visualization, like the safe, strong, and protected visualization, or the abundance visualization. Maybe alternate between those two and the evening visualization. I would also take a stress reduction break in the afternoon so that one of the reasons why you're having alcohol in the afternoon is that you're having low blood sugar and it's partially because of maybe you've gone too long without eating, but it also is partially related to stress. So taking a stress reduction break in the afternoon would be great, which means that about an hour before you typically crave alcohol, before you're craving it, it's really important. And for people that are having junk food cravings, before you, whatever the time of the day that you typically have those junk food, afternoon junk food cravings and that afternoon slump, before you actually get it. So it has to be before that. So you have to be proactive and you have to know your patterns. But a half hour to an hour before that, you want to take a stress reduction break where you listen to a visualization, go for a walk, do a mild stretch, and eat some healthy food. The whole thing could be 10 minutes. So you have a couple of bites of some healthy food with some protein and some salad maybe. It doesn't have to be that, but some kind of real food, not just junk food. You can listen to a 5-minute visualization, you can sit in the sun, you can go for a light walk or a stretch or lie in the grass. Any of these type of things to reduce stress and nourish your body. That combination is brilliant for reducing the low blood sugar episodes that cause junk food cravings and alcohol cravings. So definitely institute the afternoon stress reduction break. So those are the things I'd be concentrating on. A morning visualization where you're listening to safe and protective visualization, or you're listening to the abundance visualization. You may also want to listen to the digestion visualization since you're having some digestion problems. But one of the visualizations every morning, some visualization in the afternoon, like an afternoon recharge, because they're like 5 minutes long, and then the evening visualization as you're going to sleep at night and have some sort of snack in the afternoon right before you listen to your visualization. That combination should go a long way toward helping address the issues. What'll happen is when you start to address the issues, you might be attracted to this type of therapy or counseling or this person or an osteopath, someone that can help you work through the issues, and it'll start to take on a life of its own. But this is the direction that I would take. Okay?
Thank you, John.
Dan, I just want to say, I know we have, I just want to say one thing, please. I know we've got one caller waiting so far, and we'll take, it's Lori in Montana. We'll take Lori in a minute, but since we're asking questions, we got a couple callers, but we'll take them in a minute. But let's see if we can get through a couple of your questions first, okay? The callers that are waiting, the callers that are waiting, just hang on, and we'll be with you very shortly. Go ahead.
Okay. Sandra says, I've pretty much eliminated bread from my life, but on occasion when we go out for breakfast, I've had a slice of sourdough toast. I read somewhere that sourdough was alkaline and therefore not bad for your body as wheat. What do you think?
Yeah, I don't buy that at all, both experientially and chemically. So if I try to have sourdough bread, I get the exact same reaction as if I had regular bread. I can feel the blood sugar spike, I can feel the insulin, I can feel the grogginess and the slogginess and the digestionness and the glueiness, feel it all. So I don't buy that one bit. And the chemistry behind it doesn't completely make sense to me. So I know why people say, oh, sourdough is better, but I'm not really buying it. The types of breads that I have are sprouted, are breads that are completely grain-free, that are made of sprouted, that is sprouted nuts and seeds. These are nuts and seeds that have been soaked overnight so that they're sprouted and then put together maybe with some egg, blended together in a food processor with some kind of egg to make a pasty kind of like batter and baked. And they're really nice. They're easy on your digestion. They don't have blood sugar spikes. Those are the types of breads that I typically have. Or the refrigerated ones that you find, refrigerated or frozen ones you find in the health food store, the Essene breads, are also made out of sprouted. There is some grain, but it's all sprouted. So it doesn't have gluten and usually doesn't have the same blood sugar spikes. But those are the ones that don't go bad, or that do go bad, rather. The ones that are in the fridge or freezer, Those are more real food type of breads. You can try those too. One thing that I use a lot is veggie crackers. So these are crackers made out of vegetables, nuts, and seeds, and put in a dehydrator. The nuts and seeds have been sprouted and soaked, so they're easy to digest. They've been dehydrated, so they're not corrupted, and they're made with vegetables, just vegetables, and nothing else. There's no grains, and there's no vegetable oils. So the refined vegetable oils are a real problem because of the refining process. So no vegetable oils. It's not baked or fried. It's dehydrated. So dehydrated, they're usually called raw or sprouted. So raw or sprouted veggie crackers. Sometimes there's chia seeds, which have omega-3s, or flax seeds. So flaxseed crackers, chia seed crackers, raw veggie crackers. These are all terms: dehydrated, raw, nut and seed and veggie crackers. These are nice because they're real crispy, they're real nutritious, and they're good with dips and things like that. That's a good way to get a fix also. Another thing I do is I take nori sheets, which are the sheets that are made of pressed seaweed, and I roll them up, and I'll roll things like salmon and vegetables or eggs or something like that in that and use that as a wrap. And that's something I'll do. Sometimes I'll take cauliflower and put it in a food processor to make a rice out of it, so I can make sushi without rice, use cauliflower instead, so I don't have anything elevating my insulin levels, no grains, nothing causing digestion problems. That's nice to do too. These are just some suggestions. Okay? Yeah.
Okay. Thank you.
Yeah.
Quick O's question. For diabetics, is it better to eat high protein, low carb? Some doctors even suggested eating lean protein only, no starch, veggie, fruit for the first few days to kickstart a slow metabolism.
Yeah. So if you have type 2 diabetes, it means you don't digest sugars well. And you can reverse type 2 diabetes by reversing the stresses and the inflammation in your life, because that's what's causing the type 2 diabetes. But the sugar and the starches certainly make it worse. So if you have type 2 diabetes, it's really called insulin resistance, and everybody that has weight problems has some level of insulin resistance. When insulin resistance gets to a certain level, they arbitrarily call it type 2 diabetes, but it doesn't all of a sudden become a disease. It's just insulin resistance, and you can reverse insulin resistance by reversing the stresses and the inflammation that are causing the insulin resistance, and we're doing all of that here. But in general, the type of eating that we suggest, real foods that are salads, animal proteins, healthy oils that made out of omega-3s, and cooking with ghee and cold-pressed coconut oil as oils that you're using to heat. That combination of eating, all the foods in our recipe book, they're very, very GI friendly. They're very friendly for reversing insulin resistance, which is what you want to do when you have type 2 diabetes. Okay?
Okay, thank you. Christina asks an interesting question. Is it okay to listen to upbeat music for an exercise visualization? I ask this because when I listen to your get thin or get eaten visualization, I find that I get too relaxed, even sleepy for exercising.
Yeah.
The music gets me in a zone, pumped up and ready to exercise. Is this okay, or is the visualization goal to get me relaxed?
No, it's fabulous. It's all really good. So if that's working for you, the real goal with visualization is not that you listen to my visualizations for the rest of your life. The real goal is that you've become your own visualization master. So When I do my meditations in the morning, I'll do visualizations, but I just make them up on the fly because I've been doing it so long. So I want to get you to the point where everything is working for you. You're able to make your own visualizations to work through emotional issues or help with abundance or help with relationships or having the fat melt off your body or get ready for exercise or reduce junk food cravings. I want you to do all these things on your own. By developing the habit of listening to my visualizations every day, you develop the habit of visualizing, and then you get better and better at it. So if you're at a place where you can make it your own, it's working for you, that's the goal. So that's exactly where you need to be, and just keep going with that. Okay,
thank you.
Yeah.
Roberta says, does progesterone and testosterone lead to sugar cravings?
It can. If you're talking about taking it as hormone supplements, there's no question that an imbalance to any degree of your reproductive hormones can cause insulin resistance. And when you have insulin resistance, you get low blood sugar episodes, and the low blood sugar episodes cause the sugar cravings. So once again, that's another stress or that you have in your body that we would try to reverse through healthy lifestyle and healthy eating, visualization, and all these different things that we use to naturalize your body so that you don't have insulin resistance and your blood sugar is functioning properly and you don't get sugar cravings. Like right now, I don't get the same sugar cravings I did, you know, 10, 15 years ago, whatever it was, 12 years ago, because I don't have the insulin resistance. My body knows how to burn fat. It's not resistant to insulin. My insulin levels are low enough so that I can burn the fat and keep my blood sugar stable. I don't have the sugar cravings. The bacteria in my intestines is much friendlier, so it's not craving sugar. In all these different ways, we get you to a place where naturally you don't have sugar cravings. And that's just another way. Balancing your hormones, your reproductive hormones, is another way. Now, a lot of people take reproductive hormones supplements, but I think the best way to balance your hormones is to balance your body, because when you really, really take the right fats and reduce toxins and reduce stress and inflammation, your cells become really sensitive to hormone signals, and that means that they naturally balance, your hormones are naturally balanced. So you want to create a natural balance in your body by addressing health at every level, and that's what we're doing. Okay, Dan, let me take one more question if I can from you, and then we'll start taking some callers.
Okay, Aquio asks, is it possible to have overdose on digestive enzymes and probiotics?
Maybe digestive enzymes, but I don't think probiotics. First of all, when you take probiotics, most of them haven't survived anyway. And then the ones that have survived, a lot of them get killed in your stomach. It's kind of sad when you think about it, but it's really hard to get friendly bacteria in your intestines. And then if you get it into your intestines, if your intestines are largely proliferated with unfriendly bacteria, those unfriendly bacteria are going to kill the friendly bacteria. So it's an uphill battle getting friendly bacteria into your intestines. What you may find is you may find digestive issues when you take lots of friendly bacteria. You may take bloating, constipation, diarrhea, all these different things. It's sort of like, that's the result usually of kind of a war going on between the friendly bacteria and the unfriendly bacteria. It's not in and of itself necessarily a bad thing. But if you are experiencing if you are experiencing any of those symptoms, maybe back off just a little bit. As far as digestive enzymes, I would only take one or two with meals every once in a while, unless you're missing a gallbladder or have other digestive issues, then you'd want to take them kind of more religiously. But I wouldn't overdose on those. But probiotics, I don't think you can overdose on it, but that's not, obviously I'm not a doctor. If you do hear a professional or healthcare advisor that goes against what I'm saying, listen to them and not me. Okay?
Okay, thank you.
All right, excellent. Thanks, Dan. All right, so let's just bring some callers in. We've got Lori in Montana.
Hi, John.
Hi, Lori.
So I had posted on Facebook yesterday that I signed up for this. I've only been able to listen to week one. And, I mean, I've struggled with weight my whole life, like probably everybody in the program.
Yeah.
And I'm 51 years old, and I can't seem to overcome myself enough to believe that this will work.
Overcome yourself enough to believe this will work. What about yourself do you have to overcome?
I feel like I have this battle that I've done all these different diets, lost weight, gained weight, and so, as typical, I start up and I've read your book, I've done the stuff, and I want to be like him. I can do this. Sign up for the program, all excited, but when it comes time to actually doing it, the doing it doesn't happen.
There's some resistance.
And I'm a lawyer. We have a ranch. I'm a mom. Real busy.
Sure.
And when we talk about the stress, that's me.
Yeah.
But I just can't figure out, like, what is it? And so I think, Lori, you're always going to be fat. You're going to be this big, fat person. And I feel like I'm giving up.
How old are you, Lori? You said 51?
I'm 51.
Yeah.
And
where are you with menopause?
I am perimenopausal, and I've kind of been in this state for about 13 years. About when I was about 38, I started noticing hormone issues, started taking progesterone, and I've been taking progesterone for all those years.
How
that's where I'm at.
How much weight are you looking to lose?
I am if we looked at like the medical chart, I'd be 100 pounds overweight. Over the last 10 years, I've gained 60 pounds. and I'll lose 30, gain 30, but realistically, I probably would need to lose about 75 pounds.
And, okay, and you've been, and prior to taking progesterone, what was your weight like?
Hello?
Yeah, prior to taking progesterone, what was your weight issue like? Prior to taking progesterone.
Oops, I mean, I can't quite hear you. Your phone is breaking up.
Yeah. Aaron, am I coming in okay? Aaron?
I'm just having a
bit
of lag.
I'm having
Hello?
Lag?
Yeah, just a bit of lag on my phone.
Okay. So is our connection all right?
Yeah, it should be all right.
All right, Lori, can you hear me?
I can hear you. Right, okay, okay. What did you ask me?
Yeah, so how was your weight? What was your weight like before you were started taking progesterone?
Okay. I'll give you my little weight history really quickly here.
Yeah.
Before, I mean, I'd say in my early 20s, I weighed, up until probably my late 20s, I weighed about 160 pounds. And then when I had children, so I had my first child at 31. When I got pregnant with Garrett, I got up to about 210, 215.
At what age was that?
When I had Garrett.
Wait, what age was that?
That was at age 31.
Okay. Okay.
Then the lowest I got after I had Garrett was 199. Then I got pregnant with my other child, and that was when I was 34, I had him.
Yeah.
After I had him, the lowest that I got, well, my weight got up to about 240.
Okay.
And after having him, I got down to about 220. Well, I stayed at about 220 up until about 10 years ago.
Mm-hmm. Was there an event? Was there an event 10 years ago?
What?
That you can trigger?
I got remarried.
Okay.
Yeah, so what happened is, in the midst of my children, my dad died, I got divorced, and I got remarried.
Okay.
All those things happened.
Okay.
And so since 10 years ago, that's when it's been very stressful, too.
Yeah.
My husband brings a lot of stress. He's a real intense personality, and so,
yeah.
I mean, I feel it when I'm around him.
Yeah.
And then my law practice has picked up, and there's just been more and more and more.
So,
and so I'll go on a diet. I did HCG. Oh, great. Yeah, lost 30 pounds.
HCG is a disaster. I don't like to bet.
It was a disaster.
HCG is always a disaster.
No,
it should be outlawed. Yeah. I will go on record to say that HCG should be outlawed. It's a disaster. I've never seen anybody not gain their way back on HCG. It's a complete disaster. It's a flaw. It's a fallacy. It's a tragedy and a travesty. And even the science behind it is, in my opinion, flawed. You don't give somebody pregnancy hormones and expect them to keep weight off. Doesn't make any sense. So it's flawed. When did you finish with HCG?
Oh, I did the HCG back in 2010.
Okay.
And of course, I gained all the weight back and more.
Yeah.
And then
I've done
cleanses, and I've lost weight, and I gain it, and it just continues. Right now, I weigh the most I've ever weighed.
Okay. Okay.
And it's like I'm in the point of sabotaging myself.
Okay, so...
Okay, so, Lori...
Did you get a chance to listen to the last class that we did on stress and emotions at all?
I haven't been able to listen to that yet.
Okay. Let's just prioritize here, because I can see really clearly that stress is a huge factor for you that needs to be addressed. And the reason why I want you to listen to the last class is so that in your own mind you can really, really understand what's going on, so that you can take it seriously and start focusing on that rather than this diet or that diet, and start really understanding the basics, conceptual basics of the chemistry behind why stress is causing you to gain weight. But you would understand conceptually, like if I gave you a pill that caused hormonal problems in your body that would cause you to eat and crave sugar and gain weight, you would understand that, well, I'm taking this pill, it's causing hormonal changes to cause me to gain weight. You would understand that's why you're gaining weight, right?
Totally.
Right. So what you need to understand is, for some people, when stress is not managed correctly, it's causing the same hormonal situation as a pill would. That's what you need to understand. That doesn't mean it has to be that way. It means it has to be managed. Okay? And I'm telling you this not to I'm telling you this not to scare you or make you more feel more depressed or exacerbated about the whole situation. I'm telling you this because I really want you to take this serious. Because there's not a lot of things that you have to do to reduce stress, but you have to do them. And you have to take them serious. So if I told you have to, if you take this pill, all your hormonal problems will change and the weight will melt off of you, you would do it. It would take you a minute and you would do it because you know that it's going to work and you would take it seriously. So the visualizations have the same effect. It's not magic. It's not mumbo jumbo. It's putting your brain into a position where you are no longer producing stress hormones. And it's also rewiring your brain chemistry so that you produce those stress hormones less during the day and you produce other hormones during the day that will help you lose weight. So what I want you to do is understand how incredibly important it is and just listen to the evening and the morning visualizations and preferably an afternoon visualization too. That's what I just want you to prioritize. So there's lots and lots of information here and there's this feeling like if you don't take all of it in, you're not doing it. I don't want you to do that. And that's why I wanted you to call me anyway, is so that we could prioritize.
Okay.
I want you to listen to a morning visualization, any visualization in the morning. You'd be lying in bed when you do it. And I want you to listen to visualizations as you're going to sleep at night and just a 5-minute one in the afternoons. Around 3 or 4 o'clock, you just sit and you listen to it and have a little snack or something like that. I want you to do those three things. And that's all I want you to do right now. And maybe it won't be instantaneous, but over the weeks and months that come, your life's going to change, you're going to feel less stress, and you're going to get to a place where the weight's going to start to come off of you in a sustainable way. It may not happen immediately, but this is the direction that you need to go because these are the things that are causing the weight problem at the moment.
Okay. I can do that.
All right, awesome. And we can talk more in the coming weeks if you want on the classes and see how you go. But try this right now. Just prioritize. This is what you do. Don't worry if I give other information. You think, I'm not sprouting my grains or I'm not whatever. Don't worry about everything. Just do that right now.
You read my mind.
Yeah.
I was thinking that. I thought, I'm not sprouting my grains. I'm not doing this.
Go. Yeah, don't do any. So exactly. So don't do any of that stuff. Just do. This is what you got to talk to me. I'm prioritizing for you. Just do that. I want you to do a morning and an evening and an afternoon. 5 minutes. The morning ones are 7 minutes. There's an afternoon one that's 5 minutes. And the evening one you just fall asleep to. So that's what I'd like you to do, okay?
I can do that.
All right, awesome.
Awesome.
Thanks. We'll talk soon.
Thanks, John.
All right, take care.
Okay, bye.
Okay, bye. Okay, lots of callers.
Bye-bye.
Bye. Lots of callers. We'll try to get through them a little bit quicker. We've got Lisa in Connecticut. Let's take Lisa.
Hi, John. Thanks for taking my call.
Sure.
I have two questions. The first one has to do with the drinking water with either lemon juice or the apple cider vinegar.
Yeah.
And my question is kind of along the lines of things that I've read and heard about. You know, a lot of people think they have low acid when they actually don't. They need more acid in their stomachs.
Right.
So I have like acid reflux.
Yeah.
And when I have a flare up of acid reflux, I take a little bit of baking soda with water, and that kind of gave me like immediate relief. And
you just cut out.
I know if you put
there
some.
There you are. You cut out for a minute, but go ahead. So keep going, Lisa.
I'm sorry. If you put some baking soda in a vinegar water or acidic liquid, it will produce the same result. It will produce like a fizzy, whatever kind of explosion. So I kind of drew a conclusion that by taking baking soda in water to relieve my acid reflux, that I do in fact have acid or too much acid in my stomach because it does produce, a fizzy kind of, belchy kind of effect.
Yeah, I don't know that you can make that conclusion.
So I just you really can tell whether or not you have low stomach acid and do you really need taking more.
Yeah. So there's two reasons why you get acid reflux. For 90 plus percent of the people that have acid reflux, it's because they're not producing enough stomach acid when they eat. Now, you don't want stomach acid when you're not eating, but you're not producing enough stomach acid when you eat so that your food, especially your proteins, are not getting fully digested. and that's what's causing the acid reflux. For about 5% of the people, they've got a hiatal hernia. The valve in the esophagus at the bottom part of the stomach is weak, and acid is actually leaking into your esophagus. That's a different scenario. And only about 5% of people have that, and you want to get checked to see if you have that. If you have that, then you want to take antacids, and you want to do things to lower your acid. But otherwise, you want to take a digestive enzyme that's got either HCl, hydrochloric acid, or betaine, it's also called betaine, with your proteins. And it will make a huge difference for you. So I'd like you to experiment with that also. You can continue to take the drink that you're taking with baking soda in between meals. But during meals, I'd like you to experiment. After you've determined that you do not have a hiatal hernia, during meals, I would like you, especially during when you're having protein, to experiment with taking a digestive enzyme that also has, you have to get one that has either hydrochloric acid or betaine. These are acids that will help you digest proteins. I'd like you to explore that and see how that helps.
Okay. All right, great, thanks. And then just one other question.
Sure.
We've all grown up listening to and understanding that breakfast is the most important meal of the day.
Yeah.
Recently, I've heard or started hearing that, you know, it really depends on what works for you and, you know, maybe it isn't the most important meal of the day. And I ask this question because I am generally not hungry in the morning.
Yeah.
I'm also quite busy getting kids off and getting ready for work. I struggle to have breakfast, but I'm also, I guess I struggle because, you know, the urgency isn't there because I'm not hungry. So my question is, you know, how important is it to have something to eat in the morning?
This is a great question. This is a great question because the most cutting edge research talks about something called intermittent fasting. And intermittent fasting is the idea that the majority of your meals, food should be eaten during like a 5-hour period, a 5 or 6 hour period during the day. So if you were eating like from 12 in the afternoon to 6 or from 11 to 5, and the rest of the time your body's in a fasting state or not eating, so you're going 18 hours without eating, there's a lot of research to show that that helps lower insulin levels enough to burn fat. It helps lower leptin levels enough so that you no longer have leptin resistance. So there's a lot of research to show that there's benefit to that. The problem is this, and this is where it becomes a kind of a dance or a balance. The problem is that when you have weight issues, and when you have the hormonal issues that cause weight issues, such as insulin resistance and leptin resistance, you get hungry very frequently, and you get low blood sugar episodes very frequently. And if you go too long without eating, your blood sugar will fall too low, and you will crave sweets. So, but as you work through this process that we're doing right now, you are reversing those hormonal issues that are causing the problem, and you will get to a point where you're not hungry and you're not craving sweets. So the key is, if you're at a place where when you go too long without eating, you have low blood sugar and you crave sweets, if that's where you're at, then you have to be in this place where you're eating breakfast and you're eating every couple hours to keep your blood sugar stable. If you get to a place where you have reversed those hormonal issues, which is what we're working toward, and you no longer have blood sugar episodes that cause sugar cravings, and you can go long periods of time without being hungry and without craving sugar, you want to switch to a more natural way of eating, because it'll be much easier for you to lose weight if you go long periods of time without eating. And so eating breakfast is not the best thing at that point. So here's what you want to check. And it's going to change over time, but where you're at right now, if you do not eat breakfast right now and your first meal is like at 11 o'clock, are you craving donuts? Are you famished? Are you craving sweets or junk food or french fries and you got to eat right now, you're going to kill someone? If you're in that place, then yeah, you got to eat the breakfast. If you are, it's 11 o'clock, maybe you've had a green smoothie like this throughout the morning, and it's 11 or 12 o'clock and you're hungry, and what are you hungry for? You're hungry for a salad with animal protein and some chia seed oil. When you eat calmly, you're not ravishing, you know, famished and ravishingly hungry, and you're not craving sweets afterwards. If that's where you're at, then you can switch to this more organic style of eating where you don't necessarily have to eat breakfast when you're hungry. Does that make sense?
Yes, it does, and I'm happy to say that I do not crave sweets, but around 11:30, 12 o'clock, I am, you know, I won't say famished, but I'll say I'm one of the few people down to lunch, you know, first. But I do have a big salad with a piece of grilled salmon.
Beautiful. You're beautiful.
And,
okay.
Here's
another important question.
That's what I'm craving.
Okay, that's great. Here's another important question. What time of night do you stop eating? Because this is an also important, really, really crucial factor. And what do you stop, like if you, another problem is, if this eating style that you're doing is causing starchy or sugary or junk food cravings late at night, it's a disaster. Okay, so the next question I have is at nighttime, what are you experiencing at night?
Actually pretty good there too as well. We have dinner maybe at around 7 o'clock.
Yeah.
And it's a veg and a protein. We don't, you know, we stay away from the carbs.
Yeah. No, it's
and
just,
I really don't have any hunger. Sometimes out of boredom, you know, I'll go looking around. I'm actually not hungry, but I'll have a cup of tea maybe like late at night, but nothing, no food.
All right. I'm just going to help you tweak this a little bit. Okay. So you're in a really good place. Mm-hmm. Find a super green or some kind of really super healthy drink that you like the taste of. So the one I'm having right here is Garden of Life's raw superfood cacao flavor. It's an acquired taste with spirulina. Most people wouldn't like this, but it's full-on nutrients. You could live off of this. Find something like this that works for you. Sip it in the mornings, okay? Because so then when you do eat at 11 or 12 o'clock, 11:30 or 12, you are not famished. You've been nourished pretty well, and that's going to help you tweak that a little bit. And then also at night, if you're looking for something, you can sip this again. So have this as a find something that's super nutrients that you like the taste of, that's a resource for you that you can have in the mornings and the evenings, and then you are in a really, really good place. Okay?
Okay, great.
Awesome.
Thank you so
great
much.
Great question. Okay, thanks.
All right.
See ya. Okay, let's talk to Bill in Las Vegas, please.
Hey, John.
Hey, Bill. How you doing?
Good, thanks. First of all, I have to say one thing. I've been doing the morning and evening visualizations, and I'm feeling some kind of change. And it's hard to describe, but my mood's improved. My attitude's improving.
Keep going with it. Just keep going with it.
Those two things.
Keep going with it. There's no limit. You know, I'm years down the road, and I sit for my meditation in the morning, and I am filled with bliss, and the rest of the day is joy, and it just keeps getting better and better. So you are going down a road right now where when you look back, like if you go down this road for 5 years, Bill, when you look back at who you were and who you are, it's going to be night and day. So keep going on this road.
Oh, it's pretty dramatic, and I just wanted to make that comment that it, you know, it's been such a short time, and it's happening so quickly. And it's like, you know, I think I heard you say in that in the visualizations that you're going to experience a change.
Yeah,
and I'm getting it.
Awesome, keep going. That's awesome.
Secondly, I think I heard you say that the emotional issues may be the most important part of weight loss. And my question is, I mean, how do I tell if I have an emotional issue, and that's what's been my problem through the years?
So I want to differentiate between stress and emotional issues, okay? Because most men have have acquired those weight issues because of stress. That's very common. Because what happens is, this is a typical profile of a man's issue. You might have been an athlete in school. You know, you have some muscle, you were active. All of a sudden you're sedentary. Your muscle starts atrophying, so that develops insulin resistance. Then you get a job, and you get a wife, and you have mortgage, you have kids. All of a sudden you got all these responsibilities which are causing stress. You're sedentary, you're chronically worried, you're eating all kinds of junk food that's causing inflammation in your stomach, which is causing leaky gut, which is then causing more problems, and you got the scenario going, and it keeps going and going and going. That usually happens in a gradual way. So if you say to me, hey, I'm 35, and ever since I started working, I graduated from school when I was 18 or 20 or whatever, and I've been working, say, ever since I started working, I've been slowly gaining weight, it's probably a stress issue. If you say to me that I God forbid, I was mugged or attacked or something happened when I was 15 or this happened or that happened, and all of a sudden I put on 50 pounds like that and haven't been able to lose it, that's an emotional issue. That means there was some sort of trauma that made your body say, hold on, we need weight for safety, as opposed to just the chemistry of stress accumulating over time, tricking your body into thinking that to activating the fat programs. Does that make sense?
Yeah, thanks, John. Just a quick history on me. I mean, I've had a weight problem since I was in grade school as a young kid, and I overcame that through high school, kept it off through college and probably into my early 30s through a real active kind of athletic lifestyle. Did a lot of skiing, a lot of outdoor stuff through those years. And I, you know, as I've become more sedentary, the weight's kind of crept on, and you know, I yo-yoed 30 pounds one way or the other since the time I was probably, let's say 40 to, I'm 65 now.
Okay. All right, so let me just ask a quick question then. So was there any type of, like, you know, bullying or violence in your family or your life when you were real young?
Yeah, my dad was a problem.
Okay.
Yeah.
So there is some, that is a bit of a trigger then, which is fine. I do a couple of things. So you're 64. Are you working now? Or is your life stressful now?
Not so much. I'm I'd say semi-retired.
Yeah.
I still work.
And you have about 30 pounds you want to lose?
Let's call it 50.
Okay. Are you active?
Not so much.
Okay. All right. Then really what I want you to, what I'd love for you to do is be active a little bit, where I'd like you to do 10 minutes of some sort of strength training 2 to 3 times a week. It's really, really important, not so that you'll burn calories, but so that you'll keep your muscles from atrophying. As we get older, if our muscles atrophy, we get insulin resistance. When you work your muscles out, they become sensitive to insulin. The insulin level's lower, it becomes much, much easier to burn fat. You also produce growth hormone, which keeps you young and which helps you burn fat. So strength training for a man your age is really beneficial. And I'm not talking about pumping iron an hour a day in the gym. I'm talking about 10 minutes, 2 to 3 times a week, where you're feeling that feeling of your muscle being, you really worked for 10 minutes. That would give you a huge, huge result. So would flexibility exercises, because as we get older and we're sedentary, we get stiffer and stiffer in our muscles, joints, and ligaments. That can be inflammatory. That's an inflammatory experience. So doing some flexibility and some strength training, 10 or 20 minutes, 2 to 3 times a week, would be hugely beneficial for you. And then listening to the morning visualizations on the safe and protected and the abundance visualizations would be really, really beneficial for you. I don't think you need to go much further than that in the situation that you're in, and you will yield really, really positive results.
Yeah, I saw is it Tejada? Is that the...
Tabata. You don't have to do it exactly as... Tabata's got a, like, 20 seconds on, 20 seconds off, whatever it is. It doesn't matter. The concept is you want to work out your muscles and you want to move quickly, that's all. And you don't have to do it long, and it causes a hormonal environment in your body that will reverse a lot of the adverse effects of being sedentary over years. You also want to do some flexibility stuff. That'd be really beneficial for you. If you're talking about bang for the buck, 10 minutes of that stuff 2 to 3 times a week is going to give you a huge, huge bang for the buck. And then the visualizations. Those two things. And then flushing your body with healthy alkaline liquids like green juices and super greens throughout the day would be really, really beneficial. And that's all that you need to do, and you'll start getting into a direction where that weight starts to come off and you reverse this.
Last question, John. Is there alkaline water? Does that make a difference?
Yeah, it definitely makes a difference, yeah.
Yeah. So you would suggest alkaline water over filtered water?
As long as, here's the important thing. The real question is how is it being alkalinized? If it's being alkalinized by adding calcium phosphate, for example, that calcium is kind of denatured and it goes into your joints and causes calcium deposits, which then causes inflammation. So that's not the best way to alkalinize water. The best way is there's a way to do it where they're swishing the water together really, really fast, banging the molecules together as if you were at a waterfall or a storm that's causing negative ions that causes alkaline. That's really how you want the water to be alkaline. Or through some sort of electrolysis process that makes it alkaline. You don't want it alkaline by putting chemicals in it, such as calcium phosphate. That's the only caveat I would say on that one.
Awesome. John, thank you so much for your help.
My pleasure. Take care, Bill.
Thank you.
Sure. Let's talk to Jordan in Dallas, please.
Hi. Actually, it's Cynthia.
Hi, Cynthia.
Got my last name.
Hi, Cynthia.
But I've spoke to you before.
Hi.
Hi. I listened to the series you did this week, and it hit me pretty hard on that visualization of imagine yourself fit. You're walking down the street, and you're getting attention.
Yes.
And when you got to that point, my skin hurt.
Yeah.
I literally felt my hands clutch, and my skin hurt.
Yeah.
And then when you did the visualization of the light and the angels, I felt better because I've been doing that this week. It's kind of like I just need to hear you say that I can get through this.
You can get through this. You can get through this. Okay, I'm going to say that 100% because I have seen it happen so many times. And the type of getting through it that I'm talking about is when I work with people who have been yo-yo dieting for 30 years and have come to the conclusion that they can't lose weight, that are in your situation, and we work through this with this simple visualization, the weight starts melting off of them and they don't understand it. But you are addressing the real issue, which you never have through dieting. The real issue is there's an issue of safety around you being attractive, and this visualization specifically does this. So continue to do this visualization where you are imagining a column of light, an angel wings around you. You're looking fabulous, but you're feeling really, really safe. Get to the point where people can be looking at you, and you can look at them. You can even say hi to them. Get to the point where you're walking down the street, everybody's looking at you. I can almost feel your skin starting to get nervous as soon as I say it, but you want to get to this point where everyone's looking at you, and you're saying hi. How you doing? Hi. Good to see you. You're beautiful, too. I love you. You're nice. No threat. No issues. Beauty is beauty. You're safe. It's all cool. You get to that place and your body's like, okay, it's all cool. It's all good. We can let go this way. So yes, you can do it.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Thank
Keep
you.
Doing.
I appreciate that. Thank you.
Okay.
My all
pleasure.
Right.
Take care.
Thanks.
Bye. Okay. Let's talk to Julie in New York, please.
Hi, John. This is Julie.
Hi, Julie.
I just wanted to first week after like 10 days, I really was where you said the other day, I was feeling calmer, craving less food, everything you said, more energy, looking to exercise, it was amazing.
Yeah.
And then like a few days after starting the second week or so, a little longer, now I feel like that's all changing again.
Yeah.
And I don't know if I'm like sabotaging. I also know the emotional class on Monday hit me very hard, as the woman just spoke about with the visualization of yourself and safety and so I'm doing that, and I'm doing all of the visualizations that really are helping tremendously, but I can't get over how great I was feeling. And as soon as I start to feel so excited and so like I can do this, all of a sudden those feelings seem to stop overnight.
Yeah, but, well, you can do this, and there's no time limit to this game. That's the first thing you need to understand, and it's not going to be an all or nothing thing. It's not going to be where you feel great and you're never going to feel bad again. You're going to fluctuate. And my guess is that the emotional class triggered something, and that's really common. If it triggered something, it means that you're working on it now, and once it goes away, you're going to start to feel amazing again. So like when we do our coaching, we have this six-month coaching program called the UCE. When we do this, we have an extensive emotional program that we work through with our cellular release therapist, and it's very common that people will have a reaction after that therapy that'll last a week or 10 days. Where they might be eating more food or not feeling good, and then all of a sudden they feel amazing. The analogy that I want to give you is like, let's say that you have a sprained ankle and it's in a cast, so you're not feeling any pain. And then the doctor comes and takes off the cast and starts playing with your ankle, you're going to feel pain. But they're playing with that ankle to put it in place again and then put the cast on and help you heal. So what we touch something. Do you understand? We touch something. It's something real. And we touched it to try to get to a place where we're healing it. Once it's healed, you're going to be like shot out of a cannon in terms of your energy and how you feel. So don't be upset if it's not happening all the time for you and if you're fluctuating. Understand you're working through a process. Understand this process is an evolution. You'll get better and better over time. You'll trend better and better over time, but it's not going to be a straight line in terms of better and better. It's going to be up and down, but the trend is going to be better and better, more energy, happier, calmer, and then the weight's going to come off. Focus on these issues because they are your issues, and you will get enormous benefit as you start working through them. But be patient, okay?
But have you found that the visualizations for people have been enough at times, or I guess that's individual?
100%. Not everyone all the time, but 100%. They have for many, many, for thousands of people, especially the safe and protective visualization is exactly what they
need. Right.
Yeah.
Okay. Great. All right.
Awesome.
Thank you very much.
Thanks.
And also just wondering, is that exercise video, is that going to be available?
Yeah,
so... Or is that we have to wait for exercise class?
Yeah, yeah. No, we... I asked my team yesterday, I sent an email to post that. So if both Shan and Dan, if you're listening, can you please remind Geraldine and Amir, I think Amir, you're online also, the exercise video that we posted a few weeks ago prior to the launch of the new you in the new year, that's my at-home workout, that is meant to go into the members area. If it's not there yet, I send an email. It'll be there in the next 24 hours. So please post that.
Okay, great. Thank you.
Thanks. Okay, take care.
Okay, thanks very much. Okay, bye-bye.
Okay. I'm sorry. Let's see. We have now Ariana in Denver. Yeah?
I'm here. Thanks so much for taking my question.
My pleasure.
So I am 33. I have about 70 pounds to lose. And I was just looking, I use my Fitness Pal just to check in. And I generally enter my foods in there. I try not to pay too much attention to the calories, but I was able to pull up all my weights. And I think a good weight for me is probably about 150. And I weighed that in July of 2011. But then I steadily started gaining pretty much, I'd say really starting around January of 2013. Okay. And so I would gain, 10 pounds every like 3 months solid until about July of last year when I really cut out carbs and processed foods and things. But it was disappointing because I didn't lose any weight. I just stopped gaining. And so now I'm just looking to see some progress on the weight loss front.
Yes, let's talk about
while
that.
While still appreciating.
Let's talk about that. So 3 years ago, you're 30 years old. You're pretty good with your weight. You're happy with it. You're in a good place. All of a sudden, out of nowhere, you gain 10 pounds, and then you start going down this road where you're gaining and losing 10, 20 pounds for another 2 to 3 years where that whole process goes and you gain about 70 pounds. Is that what you're saying?
Yes, except for I did struggle with my weight in the past.
Okay.
So I had been, I'm at my heaviest now, but I had been at like 200, like in my 20s, and then got that under control. Like 150 was my happy place.
All right, so let's back up a little bit. Let's just start with 3 years ago. When you think back about that time, was there some kind of things going on in your life that were different, some triggers? You start a new job, you move somewhere, you get into a relationship, you get out of a relationship, like start taking medications. Was something happening in your life where things were just going in a certain direction, some change, some trigger that you can think of? What was your life going on? What was going on 3 years
ago? Yeah, I think a couple of things was I went to college. I put myself through college the stupid way with student loans. And so I graduated in 2010 with a degree in nutrition and fitness, actually to be an RD, ironically. And I think I just felt at that time, I didn't know everything I know now about how the dietary guidelines are crap and they were never based on science, et cetera.
Yeah.
But I think I had maybe an inkling about that.
Yeah.
And so when I graduated, I actually got into a really deep depression at that time. And then I am somehow with just a bachelor's degree, $200,000 in student loan debt, and that never goes away. So I think financially, I was more strapped than I've ever been in my life, because of all that student loan debt. Right. And then you have to face it because
you did end a relationship at that time. Yeah.
Yeah. So both those things at that time. And so, and then obviously finances never go away.
So that's a kind of, all right. So that, all that kind of makes sense, right? Let me ask you some questions. Mm-hmm. Do you crave junk food? Do you crave food at night? Like, what? First of all, do you crave junk food? Let me just ask you that question.
I actually don't really anymore. Yeah. I think that's what really helped with cutting out the carbs.
Yeah.
Just like truth check is that, like, with Super Bowl and everything, totally dived into carbs again. I'll have to back that off. Yeah. But in general, I don't have those cravings. I used to, big time. Like, I would eat cereal and I'd add sugar to, like, my Frosted Flakes because that's how much I crave sugar.
That's pretty
funny. No joke.
I'm not sure I probably did that at one time, too. I'm just trying to think that's sugar on Frosted Flakes is full on. But anyway, you're not at that place now. So you're where are you in terms of your career and your relationships? Where are you in those things now?
So I am single, pretty happy with it, just dating, keeping it light. And then with my career, I did just build an insurance agency, go through all the pain of it, and then decide I don't really like insurance. So I sold it for a loss, and like I'm just working at a job right now.
Okay. So what I'd love for you to listen to is the abundance visualization.
Okay.
The abundance visualization is really powerful. It's in the members area, and we're going to talk about it. It's going to be the visualization that I'm going to ask everybody to listen to in week five. But it's really powerful because it helps calm your body and helps you focus your mind on abundance, on receiving abundance and feeling abundant and feeling supported. And I feel like that's going to help a lot for you. I understand the situation that you're in, and that is a common trigger. I know I had that, you know, when I first moved to New York, I was, and that's really when I first started gaining weight as an adult, was when I was, this is back in 1990, I was working as a trainee in a job on Wall Street on a bond desk. And I was making $300 a week, and my rent was $400 a week. You know, I mean, I knew that it was not going to last. You know, it wasn't sustainable. And there was this feeling, you know, these little things, like I used to eat. I convinced myself, just give you an example, I convinced myself I have to be as efficient with money as possible, right? So what I would eat for lunch was the falafel. For it was $2.50, I could get a falafel. It was, you know, grilled in the worst vegetable oil, and they gave you also grilled pieces of falafel, or grilled pieces of pita, the extra top of the pita they grill in that vegetable oil. You could get that free for the $2.50. Yep. And I really felt good about what I was, like, convinced to myself. I basically found, like, the most junkiest thing on earth to eat every day and convinced myself I was doing the right thing. But in reality, I was feeling the stress and I was reacting to it. And your body does react to it. And so I believe the abundance visualization can actually help increase your abundance, because I've done visualizations like this and I've seen how it's affected my abundance in a positive way. But I don't want to go and sell that to you, you know, as this, you know, law of attraction, think it and it'll happen. All that stuff I actually really do believe, but it's something you got to work through yourself and see if that's right or not. But more important than that, the abundance visualization is beneficial because it calms your body. You're using visual imagery to imagine being in this ocean of support, and that calms your body. So from a weight perspective, it really, really works. I also truly believe it will help you with your abundance in your life, because you're using your mind to visualize success. And I think that really does work. Like, you hear these stories how Jim Carrey used to do that. Jim Carrey used to visualize himself being a successful actor when he didn't have a penny. And he did this thing where he wrote himself a check for $10 million for acting services rendered. He actually wrote this check. It said to Jim Carrey, $10 million for acting services. And he dated it 3 years into the future. And then 3 years later, he got a check for $10 million. 3 years later, almost to the day. For doing the movie Dumb and Dumber. So coincidence, great story, whatever, no one knows. I really, 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 in my heart and soul, truly believe from my own experience that visualizing success and abundance helps you actually create success and abundance. So I want you to listen to it for that reason, but I don't want to sell you on it for that reason. I want you to listen to it because it's going to calm your body. And so from a weight perspective, it's going to help you lose weight because your body's going to feel safer. It's going to feel more supportive.
And when and how often should I listen?
I like you listen to it in the mornings. It's a 7-minute visualization. I like you listen to it in the morning and maybe in the afternoon too.
Like okay.
First
great.
Thing in the morning.
Thank you so much.
And keep visualizing your in this an amazing career that you're so passionate about. You're so excited. It's your life purpose. It's expanding all over the world. It's a million times more successful than you could ever possibly have imagined. Just imagine all that stuff and feel all the support of the universe and coming into your body and supporting your body and helping you create it. I really believe it'll help you with your abundance, but it'll also help your body feel calmer and allow you to lose weight.
Perfect.
Awesome.
Sounds like a plan.
Okay, great. Thanks.
Thank you.
My pleasure. Okay, so next is Olivia in California. Is Olivia there? Right. Aaron, do we have Olivia? There he is.
Yeah,
hi, Olivia.
Hi, John. How are you?
Good. How are you?
I'm well, thank you.
Good.
I'm calling because I called, I think, during the first week that...
Olivia, I'm going to ask you to please speak louder because your audio is not coming in very strong.
Can you hear me now?
I can hear you better. But please speak, make a conscious effort to speak louder. Yeah.
Can you hear me?
Go ahead.
Yeah. Can you hear me better now?
Yes, I can. Much better.
Okay, wonderful. So I called in the first week and I asked about what was one of the most important action steps to take during this 5-week transformation course.
Yeah.
Because I had had a really rough year. I had had a baby and just being stressed and new career and all of these things. And you had told me that you didn't want me to worry about any of those things and just try to take care of myself and relax and do one visualization of me like, what did you say? Something like a few... pop a balloon and it kind of deflates.
Yeah, well, the more you rest,
I wanted
you to have the visual image in your head that resting will help you lose weight. So by having it, I want you to imagine you're lying down and the weight and the inflammation because it's and the weight is just because sometimes weight is inflammation. That's what it is. And so it's just melting on. It's just you're popping and just.
Right.
Yeah. Exactly. Yeah.
Right. So my question to you was. Should that be my goal for the entire 5-week course?
I think you need a lot of rest. How do you feel now? How do you feel? Do you feel better? Do you feel more rested?
Honestly, I've been doing a visualization now, I think, for almost a year. And since talking to you the other week, I'm exhausted. I'm always exhausted. Yeah. I just feel like I don't know if that's ever going to change anymore.
Yeah.
But my preoccupation, my obsession with... but my preoccupation, my intense worry and fear about the health risks associated with all this weight that I carry and just my intense preoccupation has really abated quite a bit. I guess my question just is, I still have this fear, I don't know if it's irrational or not, that it's just never going to change, that I'm just going to stay this way. And
But you need rest right now. You need to get to a place. As you're feeling more and more rested and as you have more energy, I'd like you to maybe drink some more green juices throughout the day. If you can, have a green juice with celery, cucumber, lemon, ginger, maybe some mint. Maybe you could make, like 2 days worth and keep it in the fridge and sip on them. I'd like you to have more green juices. But those are the things I want you to do. I want you to rest and have more green juices right now. If I'm going to add one thing to it, to where you're at right now, have some green juices throughout the day. Rest, have green juices. That's where we're at right now. We can talk again next week or the week after, but that's what you need, because you still need the rest, and this extra bit will give you a little bit more energy.
Okay, in the meantime, if I don't get to actually make juices, does the green, I have your green me up, Johnny.
Yeah, that's good.
And I drink that every morning.
That's good, yeah.
Because I used to just drink coffee in the morning, but I do that with a glass of water.
Yeah.
And I still drink the coffee, but does that,
yeah, that's
that
good. Have that a few times during the day also. Okay,
throughout the day.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. That would be.
Is really that okay to take in the evening, or is that going to give me too much energy to sleep or anything?
No, it's really good.
Is that still okay in the
evening?
It's
really good. Yeah. Have it throughout
the
day.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Oh, okay. Great. Awesome. I didn't know that. Okay. Yeah. Wonderful.
Okay. Cool.
I think that's it. Well, thank you so much, John.
My pleasure. Take care, Olivia.
All right. You too. Bye-bye.
Bye. Okay, let's talk to Julia in California.
Hello.
Hello.
Hello. Can you hear me?
Hi.
Okay, hi. I just wanted to know, I know I see a change within myself and I feel it, but so something's working. But I was wondering, I've noticed I've been feeling, you know, because it said, you say that you're supposed to feel full longer and not crave foods as much, but I feel like I'm hungry more so now.
Okay, so when you're
I get hungry faster, and I'm eating healthy foods and doing the drinks, but I'm still like, I'm hungry.
That's okay. This is not a one-size-fits-all, and there's no specific timeline when things come in. But if you're craving healthier foods, that's really, really important, because what that's telling me is your body's really hungry for nutrients right now. So that's okay. Everything's good.
Okay.
If you're craving healthy foods, go for it. If you're hungry more of the time, that's okay. Your body's craving those nutrients. When it gets them, it'll be much easier to let go of the weight. So I'm really good with that.
Okay, because I didn't know, maybe I was like self-sabotaging.
No, you're good. You'd be self-sabotaging if you just like can't get enough McDonald's or something like that. But if your body's craving healthy foods, that's a really good place to be right now. You need nutrients.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. To me,
what it's like you've introduced something into your body that your body's been desperate for a long time, and it's like, give me more of that. So this is your body's craving nutrients right now.
Okay.
All right. That's a good thing.
Okay. Well, thank you very much.
All right. My pleasure.
Okay.
Take care.
All right. Bye.
Okay. Bye. Okay. And then our last caller, and we're going to have to finish after that because we're a little bit over time, but that's okay. Synobia in New Jersey.
Hello.
Hi.
Hi. Well, I have to work at the carrier to make the phone call, but this is my third attempt at the Gable method.
Okay.
The first two times I tried it, I had bought the visualization course that was for 6 weeks and all of that, and I had the second time I made it up to the space week. The challenges that I came across were basically I kept getting worse, or maybe my situation at work was getting worse and there was more stress, more emotional stuff.
Okay.
And I ended up getting gaining even more weight and just kind of just not finishing.
Okay.
But I was staying true to the visualizations in the evenings and also in the mornings. So that didn't work, so whatever. So 2 weeks ago, I got back into the program. I'm not necessarily sticking to the visualizations because I'm still trying to, work out the issues that I had that were... I'm a little upset that it wasn't working before because I believe that it does work, but it's just not. It wasn't working for me.
Yeah.
So I haven't necessarily been sticking to the visualization, but what I did do, I was kind of going through the recipe book.
Yeah.
And sticking to the breakfast, not the breakfast, the lunch, the dinner, the snack, and the dessert.
Yeah.
I have to admit, it's very stressful for me. I work a lot. I work two jobs.
Yeah.
I don't have time.
Yeah.
But I've been making the time to buy the stuff, make the food ahead of time.
Yeah.
Now the issue that I'm running into right now is. Basically, the food is, for me is not filling enough because I'll basically eat all my stuff by 1 o'clock in the afternoon and I have no food and then I'm just starving and then I get miserable, then I get upset, I get stressed out, and then I just kind of just start trying to find junk food to just, fill me up because I'm already done with all my food, my breakfast, my lunch, my dessert, because I feel like the portions are too small. And it's just, it's a lot for me. And so I need some direction because I want this to work.
Yeah.
And, so that's where I'm at.
Yeah. So I would love the opportunity to work with you over an extended period of time, just from what I'm hearing. But the most important thing for you is the stress. You are in you're in a very stressed situation. I can feel that. And that has to be, and that's always going to take precedence over everything you do from a dietary standpoint. Because that's always going to override everything. Every time you try to do things from just from your diet, the fact that you are so stressed is going to override that. And you had mentioned that it was tough to stick to the visualizations. And so I want to just prioritize this conversation and figure out if I can give you one thing to do, and then we can talk again. And And I would encourage you to call in again, either in this class, or you can get like a, if you're not a member of the support group, you can get a free 1 month trial of the support group. And so we can keep talking for a whole nother month after this. I want to talk more with you, but I want to, if I were to prioritize, I would say, can you listen to the morning visualization? Can you just decide that the one thing you're going to do is every morning, just listen to a visualization while you're in bed, before you get out of bed, just press play, lie there for 5 minutes or 7 minutes and listen to a morning visualization and just decide that's the thing you're going to do. And really imagine yourself having a beautiful day, nourishing yourself, everything coming together. It could be the abundance visualization, could be the safe and protected visualization, could be the digestion visualization, could be the burn fat now visualization. You can rotate them. I just want this to be a daily habit. That's all. You start your day by creating a beautiful day. And really make a point, regardless of what I'm saying in the visualization, really make a point of using your mind while you're lying there to create a beautiful day. Imagine a beautiful day. Imagine things working really, really well. Imagine yourself nourishing your body with healthy foods. Imagine your job and your situation going fabulously well and you're feeling lots of health and vitality. But just keep, make that a habit. Just every morning you just press play. We have to start with this. We have to start your situation. I can feel it. It requires more than just a 21-day thing and then that's it. Or you tried visualization sometimes and that's it. There's a lot of stress in your life and it's going to take time, but this will solve it over time once you develop the habit of every morning you're going to use your mind to create a beautiful life. Let's just start with that. And let's talk again soon, but let's just start with that. I want that to be the one thing that you prioritize. I'm going to do this every morning. Can you do that?
Yes, I can.
All right, excellent. Let's start with that. It'll be the greatest thing you do once it becomes a habit. You'll start to look forward to it. You'll start to sit up and do it on your own. You'll learn how to meditate. You'll go down a road where you're just going to feel stronger and stronger, more resourceful, more happy, more relaxed, and then the weight is just going to start to melt off. But we got to kind of break through this place where you're at, where the stress is overwhelming. So let's start with this, okay? And let's see where we go.
Okay. Sorry, thank you.
All right, thanks. See ya. Okay, thanks everyone. So next week, we've got our fourth class, which I'm gonna talk about a little bit for just a minute here, what it is. It's about introducing stresses that make your body wanna be thin, which is different than everything we've done before. So everything we've done before is removing stresses and issues that cause your body to wanna hold on to weight. And there's a lot of talk, you may have heard the term set point, your body's set point. So the set point is this weight that your body wants to be, whether it's 150 pounds or 200 pounds, whatever it is, it's like a set point where your body kind of stays at this weight. I look at it, you can imagine the set point this way. Like if you look at a tug of war, you know how in a tug of war you got two teams pulling back and forth, and then you've got this flag in the middle of the rope and it's going like this, based on the pulling. Your set point is being pulled this way or that way based on what's going on in your life. So if you've got lots of stresses in your life that are causing your body to want to hold on to weight, lots of chronic low-grade inflammatory stresses, it's like there's lots of men on one side of the tug of war pulling, and it's pulling so your set point is going this way. So what we've been doing is we've been getting rid of those men one at a time. Each time we get rid of a stress, whether it's a mental stress, emotional stress, whether it's digestion, whether it's the fact that you're not nourishing your body properly, whatever it is, each time we get rid of one of those men pulling the tug of war, the flag goes this way. It's your set point starts to shift. And that's how you lose weight sustainably, is by shifting your set point. So we've been doing that. We've been explaining how to remove these forces, like these men pulling a tug of war, your set point shifting. Then what I want to do is introduce stresses that actually are on the other side. It's like men pulling on the other side, and they're pulling, and what a sense it is it's getting your body to say, hang on, whereas before we needed weight in order to feel safe. We don't need that anymore because we don't have those stresses, but we actually need weight. We actually need to be thin in order to be safe. And when you get your body to believe that you actually have to be thin in order to be safe, it's more so that you don't need to be fat in order to be safe, but you actually have to be thin or fit in order to be safe. When you get your body to believe that, then you have sustainable weight loss. So we're at a stage now where we're gonna be talking about that next week. That's in 5 days from now, and we will tune in for that class, or definitely tune in for it, and we'll be talking about how to introduce those stresses into your life in the right way, and what's the right way and the wrong way to do it. So it's a cool class. definitely attend. In the meantime, if you have any questions, talk to us in the New You in the New Year Facebook private group or in the members area. We'd love to hear from you. And have a great week. Speak to you soon.